Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
What you got there, PC?
Oh, just something I'm trying out. See, we're officially going to stop referring to my operating system by name.
You mean Vista?
Sorry, I didn't hear you there. What'd you say?
Vista.
See, we don't say the V word anymore. Doesn't sit well with frustrated PC users. From now on, we're going to use a word with a lot less baggage. Windows.
Yeah, but Windows is PC. Don't you think people are going to see through that? Not saying the word Vista is not the same as fixing Vista problems. Vista, Vista, Vista. Vista.
Oh.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Eric Von Elijah. Joining me today, he goes shirtless from May to September, and we're all better off for it. Buster, Katie is here.
Hey.
Did you think I was going to say Leander Katie? You weren't sure for a split second, were you?
Like, right, oh, I was... Yeah, we're all on tenterhooks there to see who it was.
You could go shirtless too.
Could have been that. You might have set up an Elijah.
Can I introduce myself again and then just start the show without telling him who you guys are?
Right.
Also joining us, he says a little ale in the old bike bottle is the perfect refresher for those long bike rides. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Evan.
Hey, Gub. Wink, wink. A little refresher on the long ride?
No, unfortunately.
How are those going, by the way? You still got those going?
Yeah,
on?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I went up Mount Tam the other day, which is really, that was like one of my goals. And so
you went up Mount Tan?
Mount Tam, Tamalpais. Mount Tamalpais.
Wow.
It's the local.
That's hard because you're on one of the, those single gear bikes with like the big wheel in the front and the little tiny wheel in the back.
Yeah, it's one of the kids' bikes. The big wheel, the plastic.
One of those giant wheels in the front, and the little tiny one in the back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's how I always picture you, right?
I know, everyone gives me a double take when I go whizzing by them. I show them.
So you said it was like a mountain or something?
Yeah, yeah. You go up Mount Tam. I used to be able to do it no problem, but as I'm getting back into it, I did it a couple of weeks ago and I was totally wiped. Like I couldn't walk, I had to crawl up the steps when I got home.
Yeah.
And because I made the classic mistake, like I felt really good that day, so I went whizzing out of the first, out of San Francisco, racing, feeling great. So by the time I got to it, I was completely wiped out.
Yeah.
And it was a real struggle. So last weekend I did it. I took it much easier. Like I really, took it easy going out of the city and felt great. Felt absolutely fantastic. Really beautiful ride. It's amazing. Astonishing. Redwoods, you climb up through the redwoods and you come out. You've got these beautiful views of the ocean, Bodega, Stinson Beach, these wonderful, wonderful, breathtaking views of California and the sun. It's just absolutely cycling heaven. It's heaven. It's beautiful. Backwards.
San Francisco really is beautiful too.
It is.
It's such a beautiful place. It's too bad it's so expensive because it's impossible to live there unless you moved there like 30 years ago.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Unless you get a good job, Apple's hiring.
If you have a good job, I mean, like apartments there, I've heard like $3,000-$4,000 a month, some of them.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
That's insane.
That's, that's, it's $1,000 just to get a room in a shared,
you gotta live with like 10 other guys who are working at Apple.
Yeah, people are living in RVs, people living in their cars, people can.
I can do an RV.
Yeah.
I can do an RV. Me and Buster in a little RV.
Yeah.
Think about Buster. Something about. Okay, well, let's see here. What do we got this week? Well, we are going to talk a little bit about the iPhone 8. I want to talk about this price tag that we've been hearing about. It's a little bit unnerving hearing how expensive this thing might be. So we want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about Intel and Thunderbolt. We got some great news this week about Intel and royalties and Thunderbolts. And I'll tell you why this is good news for everyone. IKEA is doing some cool stuff with their smart lights that I think you all are going to like a lot. And I think this is going to be a big boon for Alexa-enabled smart lights and HomeKit-enabled smart lights and stuff. And then we're going to do a little bit of chat about this DJI drone, the Spark, the new one that was announced this week. Buster was saying before the show, this is the most exciting tech that was talked about this week, and I think that's true. And since some of you like drones out there and Buster and I are into it, we'll talk a little bit about this, and then we'll wrap up with an all-new Under Review where we talk about the shizzle that we're currently reviewing, what we like, what we don't. Before we do the news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Blue Apron for supporting this episode. Springtime is a great time to hit the reset button and retackle personal goals like getting fit, cleaning, and cooking. Luckily, Blue Apron makes it incredibly easy to make home-cooked meals, and they make it accessible for you, delivering seasonal recipes with step-by-step instructions and pre-portioned ingredients right to your door, all for less than $10 per meal. Plus, you can customize your recipes based on your preferences and select the delivery options that are most right for you. Plus, there's no weekly commitment. You only get the deliveries that you want. Let's see here. Some upcoming meals. I like talking about these because I just imagine that Buster gets wet beard with his mouth just watering like these. Just a serious case of wet beard.
Yeah, I haven't eaten
beef teriyaki stir fry with sugar snap peas and lime rice, baked spinach and egg flatbread and sauteed asparagus with lemon aioli, three cheese baby broccoli stromboli with tomato and oregano dipping sauce, and crispy salmon and roasted potato salad with pickled mustard seeds and creme fraiche sauce. I've been using Blue Apron for months now, and I've had so many delicious meals. It couldn't be easier to cook the meals. The recipes come on this little placard with all the instructions. Super easy to make your dinners. And you get to try a whole variety of food from genres you would absolutely never cook yourself. There's just no way you would know how to make some of these genres, like, you know, Chinese food or things with catfish. I'd never even cooked with catfish before. And you get a big old batch of delicious food. I highly recommend you at least try it out because you get your first three meals free with free shipping. Head on over to blueapron.com/cultcast to get started. Like I said, you get your first three meals free with free shipping. There's no reason not to try it out. So you get three free meals. blueapron.com/cultcast. Okay. Let me talk a little bit about this iPhone 8 price hike that we've been hearing about. We've talked about it a little bit before. There are rumors that say the iPhone 8 will come with a $1,000 plus price tag, and they are backed up by a new report claiming that the components for the next generation handset will be considerably higher than those for the previous iPhones. According to China's Economic Daily News, the 3D touch module alone for the iPhone 8 will cost 150% more than comparable module for the LCD iPhone. So you know the touch module that you interact with on your screen. Per a report from Goldman Sachs, the 128 gigabyte iPhone 8 will sell for $1,000, while the 256 gigabyte version will set users back 1,100 bones. This means the iPhone 8 could represent a significant 25% price jump from the iPhone 7. My question to you guys, and this is something that I've been thinking about, at what price tag is the iPhone just getting too expensive, where you seriously start questioning whether or not you're going to buy one? I think mine might be like $1,100. Anything more than $1,100, I am starting to wonder.
He chose a number.
I know.
What?
How convenient that he chose a number that allows you to buy the new iPhone.
Right. But yeah, I'm not going to go above that, God damn it.
next year, it'll be $1,200 or whatever else they said.
You know what? $1,300 is my number now.
No, I seriously think $1,200, like including tax, right? Because you got to pay sales tax. $1,200 is the number at which I start thinking, okay, I am not going to purchase these higher end iPhones anymore. I'm going to go with like the iPhone SE or something. What's your number, Leander?
Well, I haven't given it any thought. it is pricey as heck, isn't it? $1,200.
I mean, can you imagine paying $1,300 for an iPhone? Let's say it got to that point if it was decked out. I mean, would you pay $1,300 for an iPhone?
I think I'd bury my head in the sand. I think what I'd do is I'd sign up for one of those monthly plans, and I would like I'd hold the pain. I'd hold my eyes up to the thing, and I'd be like, "Don't look at the number. Don't look at the number. You know, just look at the monthly number." And they'd be like, "Okay, you know, so it's only $50 or whatever it is a month." Actually, what am I talking about? It's going to be 100 and something a month, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Well, if you spread it out over 2 years.
Right. Well, yeah. So maybe 50.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do. Anyway, I think to get on the lease plan, you know, so you get the trade in next year.
Right.
Oh, you do that?
Right. No, I don't, but I'm thinking of doing it because I do that anyway.
I know. That's a thing is I do the same thing, right? And I've been really adamant about paying full price of the phone outright just because I don't want to have a payment plan hanging over my head.
Yeah.
But you don't end up paying anymore if you finance it.
Yeah, I think that's like the only way that becomes palatable, you know, is if you're using the device for 2 years and thinking of it like as like a long-term investment at that point. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, $1,000, you can get a pretty decent laptop for $1,000. So that better be a kick-ass iPhone.
If this ends up being right, $1,100 plus tax, you're looking at $1,200 for an iPhone. That's going to be hard on the pocketbook. I'm going to have some serious buyer's remorse after that. I already know it.
I doubt that will become a trend. I feel like all the rumors about this iPhone make it sound more like a mass market concept iPhone than like a one that's like ready for like high production and everything. And maybe that's why the price will mm-hmm. be so high, is to try and limit how many people are going to purchase it. Because if it's $1,100, I'd probably gonna pass up on that. Wait till next year.
You wouldn't do the payments?
I don't think, because like you said, I don't like having a payment plan. You know, that's like another bill you have to worry about every month, or you know, coming out of your paycheck. So I'd rather just like pay it all up front if you can.
If I did end up getting this one and it was $1,100, I would probably keep it for 2 years. I mean, I think all of us... Well, Buster, you haven't been adopting the new iPhone every year.
I have until the last one. And the 7 was kind of the first one where I felt like it wasn't worth it. So
yeah, I think you made the right call.
Yeah, and you know what? I do too, because I'm not missing anything. Like, you know, if you love your iPhone how it currently is, it's not like, oh man, I'm missing that new haptic touch button and the portrait mode on the 7 Plus or whatever. I really don't feel like I'm missing out at all. But
yeah, if you had the 6S, there's not a huge difference between the two phones. But if you had a 6, maybe it'd be a better upgrade.
Yeah, but the iPhone 8 and all the features, it sounds like the biggest upgrade ever. So it's like, oh man, you know, I might just bite that bullet and pay that much.
Yeah, if they could fit the iPhone 7 Plus screen in the size of an iPhone 7 phone, that would be a huge feature for me.
Yeah.
Is just being able to have a smaller form factor but keep the same size screen. Because I love the huge screen on my phone, but I don't love having a huge phone.
Right.
The other thing I will say too, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but the iPhone 7 Plus, it has two camera modules, right? The one that is zoomed in, the image quality isn't nearly as good as the other camera that is zoomed out. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, Leander, but you have the same phone. Do you use the dual camera very often?
Actually, not that often.
Okay.
Sweet.
The telephoto camera, I have found, has way less image quality than the wide angle.
But it's on the same sensor and it's zoomed. I guess it's not digitally zoomed.
I don't
think
so. I think there's two different sensors.
Yeah, I know there's two sensors, but like it's the same type of sensor, right? Only it's zoomed. So that's why the quality is worse, I imagine.
Do you think so?
I think that's why. I don't know. I thought it was optically zoomed, but maybe it's digitally zoomed?
No.
It's optically zoomed to a certain...
It is optically zoomed. Part of the way. I wonder if they use the same...
digitally zoomed. It's both.
Mm. Yeah, they use both. But I wonder if they use the same image sensor for both of the cameras.
I thought they did.
Or if they're different.
But maybe they are different.
I gotta look into this.
Yeah.
Because when I zoom in, like the saturation and of the colors is diminished, and then also you can just tell the image doesn't look as good. It's just more pixely. It kind of looks worse mm-hmm. than the wide-angle camera does on my iPhone 7 Plus. I wonder if anyone else has noticed this. If you have an iPhone 7 Plus and you've noticed the same thing, would you tweet me and let me know? I'm really curious to hear what other people's experiences are, because I just started noticing this the other day. Like, I don't use the dual camera all the time, but when I do use it, especially now that it's been sunnier here in Seattle, I've been noticing a difference in quality. In any case, all that to say, yeah, the difference between the two phones wasn't really that big, but the iPhone 8, I think, is going to be a big difference. But even with some huge upgrades, I don't know, man, $1,100, $1,200, I mean, that's a lot of money to spend for just a phone.
Yeah.
And there were some people on Cultamax post about this who said they were like, oh, it'll be worth it, though, because Apple will probably sweeten the pot. Like, they'll give you free AirPods or something.
No, they won't. You are delusional. When will Apple ever give you anything for free? Like, no.
Well, they might during, like, the college promotion.
Yeah, they'll give you a free Apple App Store gift card. They'll give you a free as long as you're still, like, they'll give you a little cut discount as long as you're still going to buy something. That's
from Apple.
Right.
Yeah, if you buy a $3,000 Mac, they might give you some AirPods. Remember that back in the good old days when you used to buy a Mac during that promotion, they'd give you like a piece of hardware, like an iPod or something.
Yeah, you just get like an iPod something Touch awesome. With your MacBook sometimes, I think.
Do they still do that?
No. They did do... When I bought my iPad Pro last year, they did give me a free set of Beats headphones with the educational program. So that was cool.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. This year, it'll probably be like a $10 iTunes gift card.
Yeah.
That expires 4 months after they issue it if you don't use it. All right, well, let's talk about Thunderbolt for just a moment. So we got some really great news this week that Intel will be eliminating the Thunderbolt royalties that companies have had to pay if they wanted to adopt Thunderbolt, which is, I don't know if it's a little far too late here, but it's good news in that hopefully now more companies will start to implement Thunderbolt. And Thunderbolt is much better than USB 3. I mean, I love USB 3 because of its speed, but Thunderbolt 3 is 40 gigabits per second. And USB 3 has a max of 10 gigabits per second.
What about USB-C?
So it's a lot faster. I'm sorry, USB 3. Did I say USB-C?
No, but I'm asking what USB-C is. Is it better than
USB-C? USB-C, it depends on the computer that you're using, but it's most likely you're using USB 3 or 3.1. Mm. I mean, because USB-C is just the port, but the USB 3 is the technology underneath it.
Okay.
So in any case, hopefully this will mean that we'll start getting some more Thunderbolt accessories, because Thunderbolt really hasn't taken off, has it? Do you guys have a single Thunderbolt accessory?
No, but I got two Thunderbolt ports on this MacBook, it looks like, that I've never used.
You're not even sure because you don't even use them.
Right. I wanted to get some, but they're expensive.
They're expensive as hell, yeah, and I think one of the reasons is because they have to pay Intel a fee to use Thunderbolt, and USB 3 is like ubiquitous. It's like what everyone's using now. But Thunderbolt's cool because you can daisy chain stuff together. You can daisy chain hard drives together. You can daisy chain monitors together, and the bandwidth channel is much larger, so you can just get much faster transfer speeds. Like you can transfer a 4K movie from a hard drive, depending on the hard drive, to your Mac in 30 seconds. Like, that's insanely fast. If you ever try to move a file that big, that's a huge file to move in 30 seconds. So hopefully this will mean that we'll start seeing wider adoption. And speaking of adoption, IKEA had a press release this week that I thought was really interesting. They said that during the summer and early fall, they will be adding functionality to their smart lighting range by enabling people to control them with the Amazon. They call it the Amazon Alexa now, but it's the Amazon Echo. Why do they call it the Alexa?
Well, I think just because they're just Alexa-powered devices, because there's a lot of different, like there's the Echo, Echo Dot, and there's a couple other Alexa-powered speakers, right?
And they're building Alexa into other products like thermostats and stuff. By the way, did you guys hear my Echo say, I'm not sure? I just said that. That's funny. They also let you control lights with Google Assistant and an Apple HomeKit. So I think this is cool because smart-enabled apps are amazing. And once you have some, you never want to go back. Many of you know I'm building a new studio. And one of the things I wanted to do was just deck it out in tech, right? So I wanted it to be super high tech. And I have all Hue lights in the ceilings now, so I can control my Hue lights from anywhere. It doesn't matter if I'm on my network or not. And the kinds that change any color I want them to. So if I'm working during the day, I can set them to daylight. And then at night when I'm ready to get saucy, I can make them all red, break out the bubbly, and have a party in here. They're super fun to have. And they're just not widely available. I mean, right now, Philips is really the only company making HomeKit-enabled lights, at least that I know of. And to have IKEA do it, it's just going to give you a lot more variety, a lot more options. Hopefully, it will bring the prices down because, if IKEA is selling HomeKit-enabled lights, their lights aren't going to be anywhere near as expensive as Philips lights. I think a Philips color-changing bulb, the newest generation. And Leander, I don't know if you know the answer to this. I think they're like $50 each.
Yeah, I think that when I last bought some, you know, they were like $30 each, which is outrageous.
Did you buy the color ones or did you buy the white ones?
Yeah, that was in Philips. That was for some, you know, off brand.
Oh, dude, yeah, the Philips ones are more than $30.
Yeah,
each.
The starter kit is like what, $200, isn't it?
I think it's $200. Yeah.
For the and how many bulbs did you get in that? Three. Yeah, it was way too pricey.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. It's pretty expensive technology, which is why I thought this was such great news, because if IKEA's doing it, you're going to have some really low-cost options.
Yeah. I can't wait, though. I mean, everything I have is IKEA already, except the light bulbs.
No, really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
So San Francisco.
IKEA has some nice stuff. I don't know what it is about the IKEA store, but it's like, I feel like a zombie when I walk through that place. Like, I totally lose... It's like being in a casino. Like, I totally lose touch with, like, what time it is or, or where it is or what I'm supposed to be doing later
on. What you're doing there.
Yeah. They just built this brand new IKEA outside of Seattle. You know, brand spanking new. It's beautiful and gorgeous. And when you get to the end, they have the IKEA cafe with all the tired, hungry people walking through and getting, like, big old pieces of cheesecake and chocolate cake and stuff. And you could spend like hours there.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah, that's what they want you to do. Refuel on some sugar and then go back and get some, load up another cart.
And buy some more Kmerg Burgers.
Yeah, right. You always go there for something and you end up with a cart full of stuff that you know.
It's like going to Costco.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the Costco of homewares. Yeah. Everything is so cheap, too. It's unreal how they're able to, how they're able to price these things so cheap. Like, you can get a couch for like $70.
I know,
it's like
it's
a full-on couch.
Well, it's because it's made by children, you know, in poor countries. And then they make you assemble it, so they save all the labor costs. Have children you ever done it? Have you done some of the big projects are a horrific nightmare.
Oh, I bought a couch there one time.
Yeah? Did you have to stuff it yourself? here's the coon bar.
Well, it was
stuffing.
Like a multi-part couch with that like turned and stuff. And then also even like dressers are like, you know, ridiculous.
Well, the dressers are the worst because you've got to assemble each and every drawer.
Yeah.
And they can take hours to do. And then you find out like halfway through that you put something in the wrong way around. Or actually at the end, you find out. And then you've got to disassemble the whole thing and put it back together again because something was, you know, oriented the wrong way.
But how else are you going to make it look like you're living in a dorm for only $150?
Yeah. Well, we did a lot. We did the kitchen and everything.
Yeah, my kitchen actually has IKEA cabinets too. They do have some nice stuff there. They have some higher end stuff.
Yeah,
some money.
It's a mixed bag. It's a weird mixed bag. Some of it is great and really really good. Some of it is not.
You know, like I would say, if you did a if you measured it, you'd find like 20% of all the world's landfills consist of like those IKEA lamps with the pot at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
One of those and they'd like just
break
so
easily.
Everyone
has had one of those and they all end up in the landfill after less than a year.
Yeah.
They're the most shoddily constructed item that you could purchase. They always break.
But they look so good in the store. You know?
They look great at the store. And they're like 25 cents each, so you're like, I don't care, I'll just throw this away. All righty, well, let's talk a little bit about this.
Actually, one more thing about the IKEA thing.
Yeah.
Is it, how many products do you know that are compatible with Amazon, Google, and HomeKit?
Oh, I would say most of the ones that I've come across are compatible with at least Amazon and HomeKit.
Right, but all three?
But all three, I don't know of any.
Yeah, this is the first one that struck me. I mean, I don't know for sure. I bet there are others, but usually it's one or the other, though, isn't it?
You know, I'm not super familiar with the Google ecosystem of smart products. This is actually one of the first lights that I can think of that have seen that calls out Google specifically. I don't even know if the Hue bulbs are compatible with Google Home. Is that what they call it? Yeah, I don't know if it's compatible with the Google Home. But I would imagine it probably is. But I wonder also if the IKEA stuff is going to include light bulbs or if it's just going to be like lighting fixtures and stuff. Because really, they would need to create the bulbs too.
Which I imagine that's probably what it's going to be is bulbs. And then
I hope so.
Yeah, because that would be the simplest way to do it.
I hope so. But they also have to be compatible with HomeKit, which means there has to be some kind of technology built in, right?
Yeah, but there's bulbs already that are compatible with HomeKit.
Yeah, but Most of those bulbs have a hub of some kind, as far as I'm aware, like the Philips.
I'm pretty
bulbs,
sure
right?
We've
like
seen have some that at CES this last year that had it all built in to
Did
the
you?
Bulb.
Oh, that would
wasn't.
Be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I don't like having the hub, but you right. know, it's necessary when you are doing the Philips thing. Philips makes so many great lights. It's like,
how are they all the only
people
ones,
always
too.
Ask me about them. What's that?
They're the only ones too, which is shocking.
Yeah, they really
making
are
great ones. Yeah,
yeah, that are making great ones, and people always ask me like what kind of hue lights that I have, and I always say it's like getting a tattoo. Like you get one, and then you end up wanting to have like you know another one and then another one, and then you find out that there's like this whole series of other ones that you want to get, and you end up with like all these different hue lights in your house. And they're super addictive, and they're not cheap either.
No, that's the worst thing about hue lights. It's like, oh, you want to put them everywhere after you put them like yeah. a couple spots because it just makes it way easier. But you're like, gosh, I don't want to pay. Like, it's like $30 to $50 a bulb, right?
It can be, yeah. You know what I've been doing, and I found this to be the best way to get hue products in general, is to do some hue product searches on eBay because they're constantly selling refurbished hue products. And you can get them for a much heftier discount. For example, I bought a refurbished set of the newest generation Hue A19 Smart bulbs. It was that kit that you were talking about, Leandro, that $200 kit. Mm-hmm. I got it for $130
okay.
on eBay. Pretty and good. It was refurbished, but I got it and it was like brand new. There was right. like all the stuff still had the wrapping and
yeah.
everything on it.
So refurbished
it
like is the way to go. Which,
yeah, and it was Philips refurbished, so I think somebody probably just returned it, and then they sold it, and it comes with a 90-day warranty, but like if it works the first time, it works. You don't have to worry about it breaking later, usually. Let's talk a little bit about this drone, Buster, this DJI drone. This thing had been rumored for quite a while,
and
it's basically like a Mavic clone, except it's a lot smaller. It weighs less than 10 ounces, or about 10 ounces. It's $500, does 1080p video, and you can control it with the palm of your hand, like you're Darth Vader.
Yeah.
What did you think about this thing?
I think it's like the perfect drone for Leandro Caney. Like, and I mean that like in like all seriousness, I think it's like the drone that's going to make drones popular. Like, I think it'll be like a super popular Christmas item. Like, it's just so easy to fly. Like you said, you can control it based on gestures, so you don't even have to have your phone or the remote. But if you do get the remote, you can still fly it a mile away to get, you know, those crazy shots that you want to get. And it's like makes the
flying
Mavic
with gestures. That's
what?
Well, flying with gestures, that's gonna be a huge game changer, isn't
yeah.
it? I mean, that sounds amazing.
The only thing about flying with gestures is, if you want to record a video, you know, and you want to do like some panning shots,
flapping around,
you know,
around, yeah.
Luke Skywalker and get around and stuff, you know.
That's right. That's a good point.
But there's
this thing can take off and land in the palm of your
yeah,
hand, too.
And you just like put your hand under it and it lands in it.
It's nuts.
Yeah. It's, I think, yeah. brilliant. My biggest complaint is that the propellers don't fold in like on the Mavic, but it's.
Oh, they don't.
Yeah. Well, the propellers fold. But the arms that hold the motors,
oh,
those
yeah,
don't
yeah,
fold
yeah.
in, which I'm sure next generation that's going to happen, and that thing's just going to be berserk. Like, you're going to see them all
if
over.
You think selfie sticks are obnoxious, wait until you see drones everywhere. I mean,
well,
I
this is
going
to be the ultimate selfie drone. I mean, that's kind of what this
it
is designed to be.
Totally, yeah, just yeah. to take, like, really short videos. And, you know, I could see, like, just being really good for like taking, you know, you're out with your family or something like that, or you're, you know, on the town, you can just get like a bunch of like really short shots and everything without having to ask somebody to hold your camera or use a selfie stick and stuff like that. So I think it'll be pretty sick.
The amount of technology built in this thing too is really amazing.
Yeah.
Like the modes that they have built in and how easy they make it to take off and fly and land. The fact that you can just do this, like in the palm of your hand, and just have it take off and land, like in the palm of your hand, without even having to do anything.
Yeah,
like a trained bird. Yeah,
yeah,
crazy.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like a trained parrot or something. It's crazy.
They gave
and I.
Sorry,
I was just gonna say, it is going to be the drone for the masses, I think, for people who have never had a drone before,
yeah,
who find them to be a little bit too expensive or intimidating. I think this is a really approachable drone and one that I think a lot of people are going to want to get started with if they never had a drone before. And you're going to start seeing these pretty often.
Yeah, everywhere.
Just flying around. It's actually probably going to be annoying.
I don't know if it's going to be that annoying.
Start seeing everyone carrying one of these around.
People are never annoyed when I fly my Mavic. They're usually like impressed. Maybe like after a couple of years, it is going to get annoying. Like, God, you can't just like enjoy this without having to drone yourself, you know?
It's like when you go to a concert, you know, yeah, right? And everyone's got their phone out and they're like recording it. And you're like, would you just watch the freaking concert, yeah, please, and not have your drone flying in front of me recording the whole thing?
I mean, the thing about it, though, is like the battery life is 16 minutes. So it's not like something where you're going to be zooming around a bunch and like wanting to fly it for long trips. I think it's really ideal for short shots and everything. I saw some reviews on YouTube, like Casey Neistat got one, Jan Olsen got one.
Oh man, they gave every YouTuber
so many.
One of those
I was like, where was mine, yeah, bro?
I wonder. Well, did he call you, dude? I'm shocked. Shocking. After you returned a mangled piece of sparking equipment to them after crashing it 10 times.
Yeah. I can't help it. You know, it's not as smart as the Spark. The Spark is probably great
to fly.
Like, too. I think the only problem with it is it doesn't have rear sensors, and a lot of shots you want to do with your drone are facing forward, flying back instead of the opposite way.
Yeah, that's the killer. Yeah. That's the killer. And for those people who have never flown a drone before, it's disorienting when you are flying something and all of a sudden you can't see where it is.
Right.
And you're controlling it and you're looking at the screen, but you have no idea where it is. You can't hear it. You can't see it. You don't know if there's anything around it.
You need a spotter. That's why I always fly with my buddy. And like one of us is like, we both have Mavics and one of us will fly while the other watches, you know, to make sure that nobody hits a cliff or crashes.
You mean like
lake.
He'll fly his drone too, like above yours or something?
No. I just watch the drone. Like he's just flying around because you know even you know you do like a tight turn, whip around. You forget where you're at in relation to like a cliff or something or a tree, and so it's always good to have somebody watching the drone with their eyes and like tell you whoa.
tree person. Do you ever get nervous flying your drone?
Oh yeah, all the time now. I'm way safer now.
I find that I get anxious flying it actually because I'm like, dude, you're flying $1,000 plus piece of equipment in the air. You can't see it.
Yeah.
And what happens if something goes wrong, like one of the motors stops working or something, and it just crashes to the earth? You're gonna get totally busted crashing this thing down on top of somebody, which has happened before in the past. I mean, they've had Phantoms fall from the air for various malfunctions. And then like when the wind blows it really hard, it starts giving you like those, like it starts telling you you're in unsafe conditions, yeah, fly cautiously, right? And you're like, oh geez.
I'm like, I'm gonna keep flying.
I'll just hit X, just close that out. I don't need to worry about
Looks
that.
Fine.
Yeah, I don't find it to be a relaxing experience.
No, it's not relaxing. It's like, I find it to be a thrilling experience. That's what's so fun. It's like in many ways, like, yeah, like, you know, you're not going to die or anything, but there is some risk on the line when you're flying and trying to like get like a cool shot.
$1,000 flying through the air.
Yeah. Oh, that's like on the cheap end. You know, if you have a Phantom or a Inspire or something better than that, you know, you're risking $5,000, which.
Oh, yeah.
That video is going to look really good, though.
Yeah, totally. Well, one of the other things I wanted to mention is this thing has some quick shot modes that make it easy to take cool selfie vids. Then also there's a feature that lets you capture a 10-second clip that you could share on social media. So if you want to get your hands on one of these things, they're $500. They're on pre-order right now. And I doubt these things will have the same demand as the Mavic Pro did.
Oh,
I mean, the Mavic Pro was...
I think it'll be more demand than the Mavic, man.
You think so?
Yeah, I think like they're releasing... Because DJI, like... Their production is always slow at the beginning of the release, so I think they'll definitely have to like ramp up this as more people become familiar with it.
Yeah, I think it took like 9 months before like Mavics were commonly available. I wouldn't even say widely available because they're still sold out most places.
Hmm.
But it's crazy.
Is this a year since they released the Mavic?
It was released like October of last year.
So that this is even quicker. That crazy. They're already cannibalizing their
They are releasing stuff left and right.
And that's what I love about DJI is they remind me a lot about Apple, like with the iPod and stuff.
Me too.
Like just like simple products, like great software. Like that's the killer thing about all of their products is awesome software paired with awesome hardware. Like it, they really are like the Apple of droning. And just coming out with something new every 4 months, it seems like.
Constantly. Yeah, constantly coming out with new cool stuff.
Well, they put a bunch of other drone companies out of business, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Like, I think...
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody else.
They have, like,
who is there?
GoPro has the Karma drone, which is just total shite compared to the Mavic.
Which got really bad reviews.
And, yeah, it had to be discontinued for a bit, or put on hold because of the falling out of the sky.
Oh, right,
issue.
It was cutting, yeah, it was falling out of the sky.
Falling out of the sky. And then you have Unique...
Oh,
which
yeah, Unique,
makes
that's okay, too, yeah. But both of them, they're like 5 years behind DJI, it seems, you know?
And I remember I sent you that picture that I took at Costco. They were selling a Unique drone there. And their controller was comical. It was the biggest controller I've ever seen in my life. It would be like if you put joysticks on a skateboard and you were using that to control
like
a drone. It was massive.
More like if you put it like on the original Xbox. Like that big, like yeah, a console, right. Like carrying that around just to fly your big ass drone.
Yes, yes. Like their controller is as big as DJI's drone, and DJI, like the Phantom, has a big controller too. But they pair it with the smartphones so that they can keep it, you know, kind of small and compact and leave a lot of the stuff for the smartphone. But yeah, there's just no one else that's making anything close to as innovative as DJI is right now. And they really are. They remind me too. They're like the Apple of the drone world. I mean, that's really what they are, which is why I think they're so fascinating to so many people, because they're creating such good products. Okay, well, let's go ahead and move on to Under Review, the segment where we talk about the stuff that we're currently reviewing. I got such a weird one. I'm not even totally sure I'm going to pitch this, but I'll tell you guys about it. Leander, what do you got? I'm sure you got something cool. People are always sending Leander candy cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, this is beautiful. It's a new watch strap from our friends Duke Design out of Hong Kong, and it's an aluminum. It's a metal watch strap. It's segmented, so it looks like, you know, the Apple stainless steel band, but this one's made
of
lightweight aluminum, and it's only 120. So it's a really beautiful piece of engineering. The guy that makes them, Eugene Ho, he's like a watch professional out of Hong Kong. He's been making bands for a bunch of, you know, premium designs. What do you call it? Luxury watchmakers.
Oh, yeah.
For years. And so this thing is really, really beautifully engineered. Like, he made all these special pins to hold the thing together. So it's actually quite easy to adjust, but the engineering that went into it, into the pins that hold it together, you know, is kind of insane. They're special custom designed pins. The thing's really lovely. It matches, like, the one I got was a space gray one, so it matches the space gray of the watch. And it really looks great. I think it really, really looks awesome.
What's the name of it, though, Leander?
Ligero. Sorry, it's the Ligero. Ligero. Ligero, and it's from Duke Design, JWK.
Is this available design. On com. The Cult of Mac?
And Apple. By coincidence, yes, it is. Indeed.
masterful pick, Leander.
Always
pure
be pitching.
Coincidence, it is available on the watch store, yeah.
Well, you got to tell people about the watch store if they didn't know that you're doing the watch store.
Right, so if you go to store.cultofmac.com, you can see our watch store work. And Amy has been doing a great job adding a bunch of new bands and brands. We've got wooden bands there now. Bunch of really exotic bands that are really interesting to look at and check out. We've got these metal bands from
Dang,
Duke.
That brushed one looks good, Leander.
It's really beautiful. I'm really, really, really into it. I really, really like it. I think it's really a beautiful piece.
Oh, that space gray one looks nice too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They come
yeah,
in a range. Yeah, they come in like more than half a dozen colors. And there's some special edition rainbow ones. He hasn't been able to keep those in stock. They've been selling out like crazy.
The rainbow ones have, really?
Yeah.
Looks
yeah, they're
like
really
something
popular.
A clown would wear.
Well, the rainbow ones are really popular. The silver ones look, you know, it's really
yeah,
nice.
That silver one's gorgeous.
We got a cadmium one. He's on a cadmium one for us to review. It's really lovely looking. I mean, this is
a
really
cadmium.
Yeah, so red. You know, like it's kind of
gotcha.
It's a slightly orangey red.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not quite scarlet, but an orange red. Really beautiful. I mean, like he's definitely. Like, Eugene is he had a lot of production problems, like trying to get these things, you know, exactly right. And he's got that kind of Johnny Ive, Apple, obsessive, detail-oriented. It's got to be exactly the right shade. And, you know, he was having trouble with the consistency, so he was kept on putting it back. And like I said, these pins, you know, like there's a whole thing on his website about pins. And if you really want to get into pins...
I love pins.
You got to read this. It's like a whole page about how, you know, other bands use a certain kind of pin, and they just weren't good enough. They weren't really holding up. You know, they allowed too much movement in the band. He wanted a pin that was more precise, so it allows the band to move, but it doesn't, you know, come apart. And it doesn't separate. It won't pinch your skin or it won't catch hairs.
Oh.
So he designed this pin. It's actually got two... It's a pin within a sleeve. And a special tool. So he gives you a special tool to be able to remove the pin and then put it back again if you want to make any adjustments. So you got to watch a video. Like, I had to watch a video to see how to do it. But once I watched the video, it was really, really easy.
It doesn't pull out your arm hairs.
No, not at all. And it's really... Lewis thought it was, you know, like, because the strap is like about an inch... I'm sorry, the clasp was about an inch long. And that is a beautiful piece of engineering too. Really, really beautifully made. But it's a curved piece. The clasp was curved and it's about an inch long, and Lewis was looking at it and was thinking, well, you know, that's going to be uncomfortable, sure, that's going to dig in your skin, but you can't feel it at all. And the movement and the spring action is really lovely. It's really beautifully made, really beautifully designed, and for 120 it's a real steal.
Okay, I'm going to link to this. It's in the Cultimax store, right?
Yeah,
I'll link to this in the show notes if you guys want to check these out. So you can potentially grab one for yourself. Okay, I'm going to go next, and Buster, I'll let you go last because mine's a weird one. So, and depending on how it does, it may need to be wiped from people's memories immediately. So you can go after me. So don't ask me why I purchased this. I bought a stuffed animal called a Feisty Pet. Have you guys heard of these?
No.
If you're ever around kids, I think you owe it to yourself to at least check these out. They're these really cuddly teddy bears. They make different animals, actually. And they look really innocent and really cute. And they have a switch in the back of their head. And when you press the switch, they go from looking like this, like, little innocent, sleepy little animal into this ferocious-looking creature. Like, their eyebrows go from tilting downward to tilting upward, and their mouth opens, bearing, like a mouthful of, like, gremlin-like sharp teeth. And I've been showing this thing to kids, and... Well, older kids, you know, so you don't give them terrible nightmares for the rest of their life.
You haven't been terrifying your own kids?
I did show it to my daughter. Well, she wasn't a fan.
She cried. Take it away.
No, she didn't cry, but she was like, no. She didn't like it. She was shaking her head no, and I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, like, if you show it to, like, older kids, I wouldn't show this to younger kids. If you, I'll link to it in the show notes, so you can at least, you can see it for yourself, and... It's just a really funny conversation piece. You know, like, I show it to people. And again, I have no idea why I bought this. Like, I saw it and I thought it was so funny. I ended up purchasing it.
Is it
for 20
it's,
bucks?
It's for adults.
Yeah, it's for adults. Yeah.
And what's it for?
It's kind of pointless. It's just like a funny conversation piece to have.
What's it called?
It's called a Feisty Pet, and then also. If your kids are brave enough, you could show it to kids. Some kids think it's really funny, but some kids think it's absolutely terrifying. So you really got to be careful. Like, and like I said, you don't want to show it to, like, a young kid because they're going to have nightmares for the rest of their life.
You bought this?
Yeah.
Okay.
$20. $20. I bought the bear version of it. Is that not hilarious? Look at it.
I don't know. I mean, I would never buy it.
Yeah, I don't know why I bought it, but I have it sitting on my desk, and I think it's really fun.
So you just sit there and make it change faces?
Sometimes I do, yeah. It's almost like a fidget toy.
Yeah. Okay.
And then if there's any kids that that I meet that I maybe don't like, yeah. I introduce them to my special friend. I say, oh, you want to meet Snuggy? Snuggy doesn't like how you're behaving.
Snuggy.
Snuggy.
One of them, the unicorn is called Glenda Glitter Poop. And then there's a potty mouth, Princess Potty Mouth.
Glenda Glitter Poop.
Wait, what did you say these are called again?
They're called Feisty Pets. Yeah, they're genius, actually. They're genius. Yeah, I knew Buster was going to totally hate on him. All right, Buster, what do you got?
I got something actually super cool.
Okay.
But only if you like camping and like being away from like electricity and shit.
Oh, who doesn't?
I do.
I want to be as far away from electricity as possible.
It's called
Wi-Fi, yuck.
Yeah, no one wants that. It's called the BioLite stove, the second version, second generation version. And what it's like a little stove, like can, that you put twigs into, and it has a little fan to like make it into like a fire tornado. And then it uses an inductive charger to recharge your iPhone or other gadgets via USB port. And it's like super awesome, man. Like I took it down to the Grand Canyon for a recent trip, and you're not allowed to have fires, but you know, you can burn sticks in a can, I guess. And so I just used that to like recharge my iPhone and my GoPro. I mean, it takes a little while, like longer than like your normal like wall socket or whatever, but super convenient.
Like a week?
Nah.
Like, I was just going to say, how long does it take?
I don't know, like 2 hours probably to charge my iPhone to full.
Really?
That's not bad at all.
It's not bad, but you know, when you're out camping and you don't want to like sit by the little thing for forever, like talk, because you got to keep feeding it sticks, you know, to get it burnt.
But the idea is that you would use it at night, right? So like, day's over, you're just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, and also there's all kinds of, they have cool attachments. They have a kettle pot that you can put on the top, which is great because you want to boil water a lot when camping for like dehydrated meals or ramen or whatever. And then they also have a stove top so you can like grill stuff on it. So it's awesome. Wow. Yeah. It's actually like decently priced. It's like $130 for just the stove, which is kind of all you need. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then you can get other stuff for like, you know, accessories like a coffee press and stuff like that.
And it will charge your iPhone in 2 hours?
I think about that.
That's crazy. And do you know exactly how it works? Like it creates a fire, and then how does that
does
that turn into electricity?
So it creates a fire. It has a little fan on it to make it really like, and that's like key, is because you need a lot of airflow. And it basically just makes like a little tornado of fire inside.
Oh,
and then
really?
There's a big inductive charger rod at the top that converts that to electricity.
So it's basically like how a dam works, except it uses air instead of water, right? Like it just churns a turbine?
The fan is just used for to create wind flow for the fire. It uses the heat more than that. Like the heat is the most important thing, and it has indicators to show you like the higher, like how hot it is, and the more hot it is, the more energy it's able to generate from it.
I see. Do you know how many watts it puts out?
I think it's 5 watts.
Dang, dude. Yeah, you could charge an iPad with that.
Yeah. And they have like a couple other products. They have like a pot that you can boil water in or put it on a fire, and it'll create electricity from that to recharge your stuff. So they do like a couple other cool things. But the stove, like everybody was like super impressed by it. People wanted to like play with it and toss sticks into it and stuff. So it was awesome. I would just like leave it on the table, let other people charge my phone for me. And
I remember when they first announced that product years ago, and I remember thinking, man, what a good idea this is.
Yeah, it's awesome. The only downside I would say is it's heavy. It's like 2 pounds, and it takes up more space than like a conventional lightweight backpacking stove. But if you're going to be out and shooting a lot of video like I do, like it's super helpful.
Yeah. Huh. Could you stuff a feisty pet in it?
A what? a feisty pet. Yeah. I think we could burn a couple of those at once.
They don't burn though, Leander. You put them in the fire, and when you take them out, they come out completely unscathed and even angrier than they were before.
Let me bite your face up.
And they stab you in the night while you're sleeping.
Right, and they kill everyone in the camp.
I gotta send you guys a picture of this thing, just looking all innocent. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Then that's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come get feisty with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Arifon Busters BST3 L. Kaney. This has been the cult cast, the best 30+ minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. New episodes of the cult cast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
So abrupt.
Yeah, right.
I feel like I should have drawn it out more. I just jumped right on to that next time, didn't I?
It was fine. They'll get over it.
Yeah. Oh, I think we need to re-record the show. let's re-record the show. I'll redo it, okay? You guys ready?
Okay.
I'm going to need you to pretend like you haven't heard about my awesome thing, though. It's like working in a junkyard. Leander.
Hello.
Hello.
Guten Tag.
Herr Leander. Would you like to see my schnitzel? such beautiful schnitzel.
I was looking at Buster's Instagram feed.
That's always a good idea.
Yeah. That's a crazy picture of that guy jumping up in the air.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just barely got that, too, with my iPhone.
It looks perfect, you know, no blur, no nothing.
Yeah.
Dude, thanks.
Oh, he's doing some serious flexing, too, which is something I like.
Oh, yeah. I'm broing down, you know.
Yeah, man. He's got serious flex going on. I could totally do that, too. I mean, something I see pretty often.
Yeah, yeah. But, just with a dad bod.
Well, no, there's more muscles. Are you talking about his bod?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. He totally had a dad bod, dude. He had, like, muscles everywhere. I was like, what the heck are those all about? What are all those?
That's what happens when you have kids. You just get ripped. Because
yeah. You're constantly like lifting them and right. Moving them.
And you're eating all that low-fat baby food.
Eating baby food?
You would eat the baby's food, Leander?
Yeah, I have a couple of snacks.
when the baby's done breastfeeding, you're like, hey, I got a little swig of that.
Well, you know, you put the spoon towards them, right? And they open their mouth, and then you spin it away and then put it in your mouth. then you give them the finger.
Right in their face, you're just like,
How does it feel?
So stupid, you keep falling for that.
I know.
Sucker.
Holding your hand up to high-five Tracy.
Right, she's filming in the background. So you can enjoy it later.
Man, being your kid would be so much fun.